good evening. Welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Online here and on the air every night until 1 o'clock on the East Coast, 10 p.m. here on the West Coast, and we're very happy to have you with us. I was going to do a whole different thing, but I saw something here that has just blown me away, and I want to just, it's not a big thing, but it's if you've been reading the books that I've been reading, and if you've been as steeped in this thing as I have been, I think it's pretty big news.
Now, I'm asking you, ladies and gentlemen, excuse me, this is Margaret Gray.
Yes, this is Margaret Gray.
Because I noticed you don't introduce us.
I'm sorry, Margaret Gray is here, Bud.
Hey, how you doing?
And Robert?
Yeah.
What?
Well, I am very concerned that you're going to get a tiger by the tail here.
Okay, is this the whole thing with Scientology?
Yes, the whole thing with Scientology. You know what those people do. You know what they're capable of. And you've decided to jump right into the fray, haven't you?
I'm not jumping into the fray. I'm just reporting something, which is my not only my right, but my duty. My duty.
Ladies and gentlemen, Phil Hendry is about to start. He's going to start talking about Scientology and what scum they are.
No, I didn't say that.
Well, you've got the Tom Cruise story, don't you? Well,
this is important news. This is big. I would think that if you...
Yeah, Mr. Hendry, you just went, this is big. I thought I'd let you know.
Thank you very much, Bud. I need that information. Thank you.
Well, I mean...
You did go, this is big. It makes you sound hysterical.
You know, I would think you'd find this to be very important. Tom Cruise has been deposed, ladies and gentlemen, in a lawsuit that is taking place against the Church of Scientology. This is a lawsuit that is big. It's being filed by the wife of an ex-member, not an ex-member, an ex-Sea Org guy. He was one of the heavy hitters in the organization, a big, big man.
In the organization. Now you make them sound as if they're a mafia family. You're going to have some Scientology goon kick down these doors.
Hold on. No, I don't think so. I'm not doing anything here that's even close to what some cats do. Like, I mentioned Tony Ortega to our pre-show audience.
Oh, great. Get him in trouble.
Tony Ortega's got a column, okay? I mean, the guy writes about this stuff all the time. He has a blog called Underground Bunker, which is about Scientology. Marty Rinker is a former Scientology Sea Org member. He writes a daily or quasi-daily blog, semi-daily blog, not semi-daily, I guess, every so often blog, that is also quite a bit of journalism, I think, in terms of the truth. But here, we just let me say this, please?
Fine, but I'm just telling you, you're setting yourself up for those Scientology goons.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, the goons come around.
Will you knock it off with the goons? Where'd you hear that term?
The Black Keys.
The Black Keys?
Yeah.
Who are the Black... Is that that band that we follow? Anyway, that ain't the Black Keys, man. That's a different band. The Tom Cruise likens his career as an actor to a soldier away from his family in Afghanistan, according to a court deposition obtained by TMZ. Now, that's not the big news. That's kind of a... It's a headline that TMZ believes is the real grabber, like he's disrespecting soldiers or something. But the one that I found to be even more pivotal, and it does merit its own headline and does have its own headline, in point of fact, it has its own story here. Tom Cruise admits Katie Holmes left to protect Suri, their child, from Scientology.
So?
So? Let me explain something, okay? Tom Cruise and the guy that runs Scientology, a guy by the name of David Miscavige, are very tight friends. They're very tight friends. They hang together. They go whatever the hell they do. What do you think two good-looking guys who are built and 40, late 40-something and are handsome and have money, what do you think guys like that do? I mean, what, parasail, jet ski? They fly to Rome to fight lions in the Colosseum? Who knows, you know, anything they want? These two guys hang out together. What?
Well, I would think that they, yes, do all of that and have a great deal of influence. They're probably very exciting to be around, probably terribly, terribly exciting.
Yeah, okay, fine. Thank you, Margaret. I don't want to know all of that. What I'm trying to tell you is these are two guys that move the world a little bit. Maybe as much as some, maybe not as much as others, but they move the world. You know, they've got the bread, they've got the influence, they've got the mass appeal, so on and so forth. Now here comes his friend, Miscavige's buddy, Tom Cruise, who is deposed in this trial. And this is a September 9th deposition. So understand something. This was kept under wraps for quite a long time. 2.5 months. Nobody got Hyde nor Herodis, man. Nobody got even a whiff of this. He confessed that Holmes, Katie Holmes, his ex, dumped him to spare their daughter, Suri, now 7, from the, in the words of the Daily News, sect. And also admitted that he only saw his daughter 10 times between the middle of June and Thanksgiving. The admission was sparked by a $50 million lawsuit accusing Life and Style and In Touch magazines of defaming him in 2012, claiming he'd abandoned Suri. Okay, so that's not the lawsuit against Scientology. That's something else.
Yes, this is an entirely different lawsuit having to do with the defaming of Tom Cruise. Your little Scientology lawsuit, Phil, has got nothing to do with this, and that's what I'm saying.
No, that's not what you're saying. You didn't even know what I was talking about.
Gil, you're talking about something else and everything.
Yes, that's great, but wow. You know,
what?
You're talking about something else and everything. I don't even understand the what dialect that is, man.
You're talking about a Scientology lawsuit, and Tom Cruise ain't.
Let me tell you something, my man. It all fits together just beautifully. This cat just came out with a statement in this deposition, just made public, that is probably going to bother Miscavige. And I'm not saying that Cruise is himself trying to offend the guy, but he's going to be offended. This guy, Miscavige, you got to understand something, folks. This cat, in books that have been printed, in books that are available out there in the world, has been accused of assault. I'm telling you, he's been accused of beating up people. In the church there, whatever the hell, you know.
Well, what do you mean?
I mean that he comes out of his office and finds a guy. Imagine working somewhere and a guy, your boss comes out of the office, finds you and says, "You screwed up that project." Yeah, bam, just belts you, or strangles you, or something like that. That's what they're saying this guy does. I mean, it's a weird, weird organization. Let's face it. But hey, I got nothing against it. Anybody want to do their thing? That's fine with me. The thing that bothers me, as I've said, is that they're tax-exempt, they got tax-exempt status, and they got it real, they did it by way of just muscling their way into the offices of the IRS and the Treasury Department, and then they conducted this espionage campaign. Are you aware of this?
What are you talking about? Are you talking about Scientology?
Yes. In the late 70s, they went in, they had people go into U.S. government offices and steal documents. This is a matter of record.
Scientology.
Yes, they conducted espionage against their own government, American citizens, against their own government. And why? Because people were saying bad things about them. Because some lady wrote a book, The Scandal of Scientology, because they don't like being criticized.
Well, this is what I'm saying. And so you're opening your big mouth tonight. And the next thing you know, Phil, you'll be out. They'll be followed. These goons.
Here we go with the Scientology goons. Anyway, so this lawsuit down in Texas, which alleges harassment. Marty Rathburn, a former member of Scientology, and his wife were sitting at home one night. They hear a knock on the door. They open it up, and there are these people there yelling and screaming and talking through bullhorns and basically accusing him of all kinds of stuff, just basically camping out on his doorstep, harassing him. And this continued for a while until finally they filed this lawsuit. And they've deposed all kinds of people. And they're going to continue to depose people. They want to depose Cruise. They want to depose the guy that runs the thing. Now you got this lawsuit by Cruise against Life and Style and In Touch magazine. And guess what? He's been forced to make a statement in the deposition, which just puts them in decidedly negative life, Scientology. She took her kid, Katie Holmes took her daughter, Suri, and left Tom Cruise because she didn't want the kid being turned into a Scientology robot. Yeah, I know, Margaret. Really hard to choose sides there between Holmes and Cruise.
How dare you? I would never sacrifice my self-respect, and I would never compromise my integrity that way. Tom, okay, so I paused, and now you think...
Yeah, now I think you're going to choose Tom Cruise.
Why wouldn't I? I've known... If I knew either one of them, it would be him. And so I feel loyalty.
Yeah, if you knew him, you don't know him.
You don't know that. Excuse me.
Yeah, your voice just went, you don't know that.
He doesn't know that.
Well, do you know Tom Cruise?
That's none of your business. But if I did, then I would be loyal to him.
What about if you knew Katie Holmes?
Not so much.
Anyway, we'll be right back, folks. What a ridiculous line of conversation. I thought I was... I'm the only guy making any sense around here tonight. Welcome to the show. Anyway, our number is 855-500-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, online at philhenryshow.com. More on this and that and a whole bunch of other stuff coming up. College football days. Wow. Hey, welcome back. World-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And we got David G. Hall is going to join us, and I guess I know why. What is it, man? He's afraid I'm going to get... He's afraid that I'm talking too much about the whole Scientology thing. I don't know. I think that there's a little bit of paranoia happening there. I don't think that just because a guy criticizes them, they got to pick their battles over there at the Scientology mother father computer headquarters. Man, they can't just take on every guy. Me, I ain't nothing to them. They're taking on guys that are former members, guys that are big players in the media. I mean. The guy that they tried to drive nuts, and they actually were successful doing it briefly, was a reporter named John Sweeney for the BBC. And Mr. Sweeney had done a documentary on Scientology a number of years ago. And they got him to lose it on camera, because what they did was they followed him everywhere. I guess he came out to L.A. and hung out at the Scientology...
Well, it's the celebrity. You know, you're talking far too... Mr. Hall wants to speak with you about this.
That's nice. I'll talk to him when I get around to it, okay?
Yeah, he's waiting on hold.
I don't care. What is it called?
The Celebrity Center. That's where the celebrities go. So Scientology has a place where celebrities can go and not have to be around. It's not that they don't like regular people. It's that they... I belched and I kept it suppressed.
Thank you, but except you mentioned it, so...
Anyway, never mind.
Well, no, go ahead, Margaret. I mean, just because I mentioned the fact that you suppressed the belch, is that a negative thing?
Yes, because I said that... The point that I said I was going to belch and I didn't, and I should have gotten points for that.
Hey!
You want your ass kicked?
What?
Do you want your ass kicked?
No.
Don't be a smartass, bud.
The Scientology Celebrity Center is for the celebrity who gets off of a movie set, is tired, and needs to go and be plugged into whatever they do. And so, you can well imagine, Phil, you get off of a movie or a television set, you're exhausted, and you need to go over to the Scientology place.
Yeah, to get the Scientology.
To get the Scientology, see?
What does that mean, to get the Scientology?
I don't know, Phil. They go over there, and they plug into those two cans that they have. What are you looking at, bud?
I'm not looking at that, but it was funny when you said plug into two cans.
Oh, brother.
Boy, you are a mental midget from way back. You're one of the originals. So don't they do that?
You're asking me. I mean...
You read the books, Phil. You're sitting here, I read all these books.
Well, you're right. Yes, they do audit. You're right. It's called auditing. And you hold on to a couple of instruments that somebody said they look like asparagus cans.
What?
That's what someone said. But the point is, it's like a lie detector. So they ask you a bunch of questions, and they look at the E-meter, I think is what it's called, and they watch the reaction. And like a lie detector... They claim to be able to know if you're being honest. And as they call you on your bullcrap, especially when they bring up emotional things from your past, as they call you on your bullcrap, you begin to recognize your bullcrap, you deal with it, and the meter eventually is not supposed to move, and that's what's called going clear.
So you realize that you're full of crap.
Exactly. Going clear is realizing you're full of crap. Yeah, that's the best way I know how to say it.
Well, that's...
Yeah, anyway, David Hall is with us, David G. Hall, our Vice President of Syndication. David?
Yeah, look, it's your show. What I'm trying to say is, I think what Margaret's been trying to say, what Bud is trying to say, a lot of us are trying to say, it is your radio show, but you are beginning to go into areas where I can't protect you if you get these Scientologists mad at you, because what they do is they go to your house and look in the window and do things to make you nuts, you know?
I've heard about them harassing people, yeah. But what about what I just said?
What?
I said that I'm not that big of a fish for them to care about. I'm another guy doing a talk show. That's all. Just another guy doing a talk show. They got far, far more formidable opponents, I think, in the people that have written these books. What about them?
Now look, they got enough money. You just said Scientology's got enough money to go after anybody they want. And they got enough money to go after everybody. You know, I wouldn't be surprised that after Cruz slipped up with a deposition at least got leaked about him saying, yeah, Katie had to get away from Scientology. They're probably going to start to go around to his house, and I don't know what they do. They set bags of cat turds on fire or something. It sounds juvenile.
They don't do that.
Well, what do you mean they don't do that? I've heard that they do those kinds of things.
They don't set bags of cat turds on fire, no. They don't do that. They'll camp out in front of your house sometimes. They'll have big signs that say you're a turd, you know, you're a no good guy.
That's what we're worried about, that they'll be harassing our broadcast facilities here.
See, I don't need that. We don't want them out there, you know, going up and down. Phil Hendry is a pile of soft cow dung. Phil Hendry's this and that, or whatever they. And
well, what's wrong with that, man? I think that'd be great. We could drag the microphone out there and have ourselves a real party.
Oh, yeah, great. So we can hear as you lose your temper and you beat one of them up, because that's what's going to happen. See,
what do you mean I lose my temper?
They're the ones that come around to harass, right? Right?
Yeah.
Okay. All they're trying to do is get a reaction. And if you turn around and you beat one of them up, now they got their lawsuit. Now they can basically shut you down. And that's what they're looking for when they send people out and call people names and let off smoke bombs and all the stuff that they do.
I don't know where you're getting the smoke bomb thing, man. I know that, as I said, they have signs. They often picket. They often use bullhorns and that kind of stuff. They confront people. They do that this method where they, you know.
Well, I've seen that on the videotapes, David. They walk right up to someone. They go, "What are your crimes? What are your crimes?" Have you seen that?
Yeah. It's very intimidating. They'll walk right up to you and ask you what your crimes are. You know, I know you haven't committed any crimes, Phil, but people are nervous. And so when you say, "What are your crimes?" and you may go, "Well, I raped a man," and you don't mean it.
I wouldn't say that.
Well, you don't know if you're nervous.
Have you ever known anybody to say or do something like that?
Yes, when I was coming over the border from Mexico and I was with Daphne, we've been down there buying these big clay pots that we want to put out in the yard. You know, they're a lot cheaper in Tijuana. We're coming over the border. Guy says, "You an American citizen?" "Yeah." "Have you got anything to declare?" And I just blurted out, I don't have any heroin. I don't know why I said it, but I knew I was nervous.
What did you do?
I said, "Hey, Daphne, get a load of him." He didn't.
"Hello, Peggy."
The butter is in the refrigerator. I said, okay, that when the guy at the border, you know how they say to you, "Are you an American citizen?"
"Yeah."
"All right." He said, "Are you an American citizen?" I said, "Yeah." Then he goes, "What have you got to declare? Anything to declare?" And I said, I swear to God, I don't use a dildo on myself," or something like that.
What, David, that is, that's ridiculous. I mean, what made you want to say that?
The guy's making me nervous. He's a border patrol guy who can go under your car, who can look for stuff.
And not find it if it ain't there.
Well, I don't know what somebody's, you know, you go down to Tijuana and there might be a guy down there on the street that you didn't buy an iguana from or one of those Aztec calendars, and he gets pissed off, crawls under the car, tapes some weed to the bottom of it, and then calls ahead to the border station.
Boy, you talk about paranoid, man. You're really coming up with some interesting scenarios there.
Well, I mean, all I'm saying is that I don't, you know, let's forget about me for a minute, okay? If that Scientologist guy comes up to you and says, "What are your crimes?" and you blurt out, "I love to give it to a, I wanted to give it to a cat so bad," and you don't mean it, but you're so nervous, then they take that and they put that on the Scientology report or whatever the hell they got. That's all I'm trying to say.
Yeah, okay. Well, thank you very much, David.
Oh, I get it. So I'm not even connected to reality.
Not tonight. No, you're not. Thank you very much. Oh, I get it. So I'm not,
Well, you got it. He's just giving you a worst-case scenario.
Yeah, that's the worst-case scenario, Mr. Henry. I got news for you. That is definitely a worst-case scenario to the point where it's out of the realm of possibility. I'm not going to blurt out, "Oh, I really want to give it to a kitten." Look, no matter how nervous you are, no one can be so nervous that they just fictionalize, although there is such a thing as false confession.
There you go. That's exactly what I'm talking about. False confession.
What's that?
That's when someone gets so nervous they go ahead and confess to something that they did not do, and that's a matter of fact.
It is. It is. It is a matter. It seems incredible, but we now know that people sometimes feel so pressured by the police in an interrogation, they'll go ahead and admit to a crime they didn't commit. No, that's not going to happen to me.
Oh, so now you know about false confession. If they asked you, did you have sex with poultry? Never mind.
Why wouldn't I laugh at that?
Because you're a child, Phil.
Why wouldn't I laugh at that?
Because you're a man. So that's...
Anyway, we'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. College football news coming up. World-famous Phil Hendry Show at philhendryshow.com. Visit us online at philhendryshow.com and get a backstage pass so you can watch our live streaming video of this show, listen to 5,000 hours of some of the greatest radio ever made, some of the finest podcasts you'll ever hear, some of the grooviest and most perfect people that you'll ever meet, some of the most handsomest kind of guys that you will ever... Well, I don't know. I'm one guy. Anyway... Head on over and get a backstage pass. Now, what do you get? I just said 5,000 hours. You also have the daily videocast. You also have the daily podcast. You also have our classic podcast. And all the other features, including our now Saturday bonus shows that we're going to be creating as need be. Now, I made the announcement today. If for whatever reason we are not on the air during the week, because, for instance, Monday is Veterans Day, and we would not be on the air for any holiday that is national in scope, Christmas, etc., we will be doing bonus shows on our videocast as well as our podcast. So backstage it, man. And also, while you're there, go to our online shop, philhendryshow.com, with our online shop hats. I'm wearing one tonight here on the videocast. This is the Phil Hendry cap. We have the Ted's Beverly Hills hoodie, all that stuff, philhendryshow.com. It's just the right thing to do, man, nowadays. You know, when you have a business, you just got to do the right thing, and that is make as much money as you possibly can because, you know...
They're sure not going to pay you.
That's pretty much it. All right, Professor Emery Clayton, I want to do, and we will momentarily, get on line here with either Don Mixa or Vernon Dozier on Saturday's college football games to watch. And I have Vernon, I have Professor Emery Clayton on line with us here, wanted to make a comment about Obamacare. But I wanted to ask you, Professor, are you watching any of the college games?
Phil, I'm probably not going to be watching any of the college ball game. You know that our school is a community college, and so we do not have the football program here that that four-year college would have.
Oh, I understand that.
But you're asking me that question. Why?
I'm asking you that question because I thought when I saw your name on screen, I thought you wanted to call in a comment on that. And then, Bud, hold on for a minute. I've got to turn something off here. I just had something pop up here audio-wise. I thought you were going to comment on that, and then Bud said you're calling in about Obamacare?
Yes, I'm calling in about Obamacare. You know, I would just hasten to say to my friend Phil Hendry, who I admire greatly, and I think Phil has been a very fair and even-handed host in the programs that I've engaged him on, because I'm black doesn't necessarily mean... I want to call in and say, now, let's hold the phone, because I want to talk about football. I'm a professor.
No, I know that, Professor, but please don't think that I was suddenly stereotyping you. Because I had gone into the break...
No, I'm a professor of urban studies, and I'm a professor of history at L.A. Canyon College. So I'm not going to be calling, and I would say, those are my credentials. Let me call up and talk about football.
I understand that, sir. I had just gone into the break saying that I wanted to talk about college football because we had some of the games lined up here. We wanted to discuss them. Then I saw your name come up, and I thought I made that connection.
And if you had seen, for instance, another man's name come up who was a white man, would you have automatically thought that...
You know, if you don't want to talk to me...
No, it's fine, Phil, but I'm a little bit on edge here because the reason why I call... No, but answer my question. If you saw that Dr. Ron Tarner there, he's a white man. He's a white man with a stuffed-up nose and a thing about Stephen Hawking, and I don't know what his problem is. If he called in, do you think he won't be talking about college football?
That's a very good question, Phil. I bet you're thinking, no, he wouldn't.
If I saw Dr. Tarner's name up there?
Exactly.
Probably not.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I'll tell you what, Phil. You know, I admire you for your honesty, though. I really do. So here comes the colored man.
Oh, come on, will you? Give a guy a break. I had no idea that you were going to call up about anything other than this. I saw your name pop up as soon as I had mentioned it. Tarner is not going to be a guy that comes to mind when it comes to football because he doesn't know anything about anything. He's admitted. He lives in his observatory. He's got his house, his son, and his science, and that's it. I wouldn't think of him relative to anything other than the fact that, like you said, he hates Stephen Hawking. He writes jokes, and he looks through his telescope and thinks he's a doctor of other things, which he isn't.
Well, you know, you're very, very crafty, Phil. I like you. I think you're a funny guy and an intelligent guy, but you're very crafty. Very, very crafty. I'm going to let it slide this time. But
I don't think there's anything to let slide.
Phil, just let it go. The professor is being magnanimous.
There you go, right there. I'm being magnanimous. And if I were you, I would accept my magnanimity, and I would not push it, because I've called up about something here that I think you're going to find very interesting. I'm talking to, just as Mr. Henry believes, that if he had a white doctor call in, by heaven, he's not going to talk about football. He's going to talk about stargazing or some other nonsense. But
I've already addressed this, Professor. I don't think it's fair.
All right, you sit and you think that you've been treated unfairly, but I want to say something. Today, I'm having lunch with my colleagues, and one of them is a very, very qualified, a very eminent professor working in anthropology here at L.A. Canyon College. And this woman said to me that she had her insurance canceled. She said, now, what do you think of that? Obamacare canceled me. And I said, well, that must be because it's junk. The insurance policy you have is junk. And she looked at me and she said, well, what do you mean by that? I said, the only reason why you're going to get canceled is if your policy is no longer in effect because it does not meet the minimum requirements of the law. She says to me, well, Obama lied when he said that we could keep our insurance. I said, no, he did not lie. He was assuming that people were going to understand that if a insurance plan is illegal, it's not going to be in effect. Do you really have to tell somebody, oh, you can keep your insurance, unless, of course, it's illegal? Because the plan is defined as to what it is, and an illegal insurance policy, one that does not give you the basic coverage that you're supposed to have, is illegal. Illegal.
All right, now, I'm going to interrupt you, okay?
Go ahead.
Well, sorry, you know, but I here's the thing I wanted to ask you. You know, what you just said is all true, but it's all extremely complicated.
Well, what I'm going to tell you is this, Phil.
It's all very complicated.
Yeah, what I'm going to tell you is this. I can't do anything about the fact that it's complicated. And you say it's complicated to understand that some insurance coverage is no longer legal in the United States of America because it's designed only to steal money from people and not really give them any decent coverage. Now, I can't do anything about the fact that that's illegal, and I can't do anything about the fact people don't understand that. But that's a fact, Jack, as the man said in the movie, Bill Murray. Now, here's number two. This colleague of mine said, well, I lost my insurance, but they are rolling it over to another plan. And I said, I'll bet it's a more expensive plan. She said, yes, it is, and she's blaming Obama for that. I said, now, hold on. It's a more expensive plan because it meets the requirements of the law. And, of course, they're going to charge you more money for it. But here's the beauty part. You don't have to take that insurance. You can shop around for the same legal coverage, and you can get it cheaper. She said to me, you mean by using that website? I said, you can do that, or you can use an insurance broker, an insurance agent. Now,
there's an idea.
Yes, there are insurance agents that work as brokers as opposed to just working for one company.
That's exactly correct. There are insurance people that go out at the same way a real estate agent would, or anybody else. They're going to find you the best deal, and they're going to get. Now, I know that there's some of them that are working on commission because they're working for one company or another. You run into that when you're buying stocks and bonds. You have to do your homework. One of the things I think you said, Phil, is very, very right. Out of all the wrong things you've been saying on your show tonight, including the fact that here comes the colored boy, and
I never said those words at all, okay?
No, you didn't say those words, but that was how I was treated. I'm a professor of urban studies, and as far as you were concerned, I was wearing overalls and carrying a mop. And
well, that's not fair, Professor. Phil is not the brightest bulb on the tree, but I think he means well.
Well, okay.
Well, thank you very much for that ringing endorsement. Why don't you shut up? So
look, I don't want to sit here and referee some fight between Phil and the Walking Dead there. All I'm trying to say is that you don't like that line?
That's very funny.
All right, all I'm trying to say is this. If you want insurance, you can get insurance, and you can get insurance that you can afford, and you can get insurance that is comprehensive and that is going to be legal, and you can find it by way of, once they fix this website. Now, yeah, I'm going to give Obama all kinds of hell about that. That's just a messed up situation over there. But I'm also going to tell you that that is not the only way to go about finding affordable insurance. Like I said, they've got the, in the industry, they got these brokers. So I said all of this to this woman, this white woman I'm having lunch with. And she went back on the same old thing. She said, well, Obama can't. I said, didn't I just explain to you? And she said, Obama can't. So I got up, I took my tray of food, and I went outside with my tray of food. And I went outside, and I sat down on the cement right in the middle of the student quad on the ground like I'm, I guess, a snake charmer. You know, I'm just sitting on the ground with my food, and I'm eating it right off of my lap. I got the tray there. And the people come by, Professor, you all right? Why you say, why don't you sit in the teacher's lounge? And I said, because I've been made to feel as if I'm a third world swami trying to charm a snake out of a basket. I've been made to feel as if I'm just some guy selling a rug in a bazaar by this white woman that I was having lunch with who didn't understand Obamacare, and that because she's dumb, she's going to blame it on him. And because I couldn't explain it as good for her as I should have, she's going to blame it on me. So I'm just going to sit here on the ground as if I'm as if I've got leprosy or one of these people waiting for money outside a department store in Paris. See what I'm saying?
No, I...
That's a tough one to follow, Professor.
You know, Phil, work with me here. You know, I'm...
I'd work with you what, man? You're sitting on the cement outside?
Yes. I'm sitting outside on the cement because I feel as if I've been alienated by this white sitting inside who wants to blame Obama because she's dumb. So I couldn't take it any longer. I didn't want to have anything to do with the world she's in, including chairs, silverware, tables, buildings.
So you went outside and sat on the cement and ate lunch?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right, and I'm proud of that.
All right, Professor, thanks very much. You got a break.
Yeah, I'll bet you got a break.
Why is that guy always pissed off?
I don't know, man. You pissed him off when you said about Obamacare.
I didn't say anything about it. I agree with him.
Well, you did something because he went outside and ate off the ground or whatever.
I didn't do it. The lady he was having lunch with, who apparently didn't understand that she could, when her insurance got canceled... Exact same thing happened to my ex, Maria. Her insurance got canceled. She then got all nervous and pissed off. They said they're rolling her over to another plan. She said, that's fantastic. They said, yes, but it's going to cost more. She got angry again. And we're having lunch today. I said, well, look, you know, you don't have to have that insurance. Get a plan that is affordable and that is also legal. You cannot have certain plans because they're junk now. And the plan you had for you and for her two kids, I said, that plan... It didn't cover you properly. Can you imagine if there'd been an emergency and you needed that plan to kick in for something that it didn't provide? I said, frankly, Obama's been doing a lot of people a lot of favors here, getting some of these policies canceled because they suck, because they ain't no good.
You're starting to preach again.
We'll be right back, folks. 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Sorry for preaching.
Well.
Norman, ooh.
All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Thank you very much, Professor Clayton and David G. Hall, a couple of guys that never pull any punches, man. They got no problem telling me what they think of me, and it ain't too good.
Well, don't start, you know.
Yeah, don't feel sorry for yourself.
I'm not feeling sorry for myself. I'm just telling you, you know. After a while, a guy gets tired of it.
Well, you got to have him on the show, then.
Well, you have to have David on. You can't not have him on.
Well, you know, maybe I won't. I mean, I'm just, after a while, a guy gets tired of being told, you know, he's an idiot and he doesn't understand. And I think I understand more than a lot of people.
But you're getting all offended and everything.
Yeah, wouldn't you?
Everybody tells me I'm stupid all the time. You know what I do? I laugh right back at it. Doesn't bother me at all.
Oh, yeah, you cry and everything.
No, I don't. No, I don't.
Yeah, you do, man. Like, if I tell you you're dumb, how do you feel?
I don't care. Doesn't bother me at all.
This is very interesting. Go ahead, Robert.
You are dumb, man. You're the dumbest man I've ever known in my life.
I don't care.
Bud, you're so stupid that I'll bet you have to open the window and put your hand out to see if it's... Well, that's not stupid.
What?
If you put your hand out to see if it's raining.
No, that's not stupid.
I don't have to do that, though.
Why?
Because I can look and see if it's raining.
Good one, Bud.
All right, yeah.
Both of you, just...
All right, take it easy, all right? Everybody just,
You always say take it easy. You got to stop doing that. Stop saying take it easy, and don't take everything Mr. Hall said personally, and Professor Clayton have more respect for the fact that he's black.
Yes, sir. I don't have any disrespect for Professor Clayton because he's black, and you're right. I shouldn't say take it easy so much, and David Hall, you know, can pound it.
That's the spirit.
Thank you. If it is possible for the number one team in the nation to be flying under the radar, then that is what Alabama's been doing the past few weeks since opening its season with victories over Virginia Tech and Texas A&M, which was number six at the time. Alabama has been blowing out inferior opponents with increasing ferocity, outscoring its last six opponents by 246-26. Suddenly, the Crimson Tide are a given at number one, and the jockeying for number two has captured the attention of the college football world. Now, one of the things that I'd love to talk about, but I don't know if we'll have time, is just exactly what are these games that some of these teams are playing? Because, man, I can't even believe that these colleges, some of these programs, are even playing Division I schools, man. Now, I haven't seen the Alabama Crimson Tide schedule, but... I have seen the schedule of some of these other ball clubs, and, you know, they start, they're out there, they're kicking ass on really little schools or schools that really aren't all that, schools that want the opportunity to play you because that gives them a nice payday, but they're not, they're not powerhouses. And even here in this article, they say that Alabama's playing inferior teams. But here's the thing about Alabama. When they say that they're flying under the radar, man, those guys are never flying under the radar. If ever there was a team in the history of the world that everybody knows about, everyone knows every time something happens, good or bad, it's Alabama. Because that's it down there, man. On November the 5th, 2011, LSU handed Alabama its only defeat of the season. On November 10th, 2011, Alabama received its only loss that year, too, to Texas A&M. Both times, the Tide were able to rebound and win national titles. Now they face one of the biggest tests left on its schedule, although Louisiana State has two losses, and this is not a game of the century, as LSU's 9-6 win in 2011 was billed. The Tigers have been one of the few teams to enjoy success against Alabama.
Well, what do you watch these games?
I watch some of these. I watch the bigger games. I'm always looking, but there's so many teams in college football. I either watch the top 10 teams, or I don't watch at all because I'm not going to watch two unranked teams. I don't care that much about college football. I got to watch something that means something. So they got these games this weekend: Virginia Tech and Miami. Miami's 14th, but Virginia Tech isn't ranked. Houston and Central Florida. There you go. And Central Florida's ranked 19th. Houston, what is, I don't know. And then Nebraska and Michigan, neither one of those teams is ranked.
Well, I thought Nebraska and Michigan, those are two, I don't know anything about football. Doesn't Nebraska plays football, right?
Yes, Nebraska at Michigan.
Yeah, those teams are great.
They're not ranked this year.
What's that mean?
What do you mean, what does it mean?
When you say they're not ranked.
They're not ranked. They don't have a ranking.
Was that so they didn't win?
They're not winning enough to get ranked.
Well, how many wins do you have to have?
It's not about how many wins because the rankings are determined by a computer.
What? Man, wait a minute. In the NFL...
I know all about the NFL. I know how it's done in the pros. In college ball, there's so many teams, they can't do it that way, okay? They got to stick all this stuff into a computer, and then the computer says, what's up?
That's almost like in a Scientology, what you were saying about the mother-father.
What? Yeah, why is that any different from the mother-father computer?
The mother-father computer. What are you talking about?
That's what you called Scientology.
Scientology doesn't have a mother-father computer. I was just being ridiculous when I was talking about how everything there is so just, ooh, you know.
Well, what about college? Is anything there, ooh, or is it all just Scientology?
No.
Well, then why do they have a computer figuring things out? Why don't they play the...
Margaret, there's so many teams that they can't have a coherent ranking based on wins. There's just so many teams, and a lot of them don't play each other. One of the ways that you determine the strength of a team against another team, have they played each other? And so many of these teams have not.
They're going to have them all play each other then.
They can't because they only play 11 or 12 games a year.
Well, then why don't they play more?
Because it's college ball, and they got to study for their tests and all that crap.
That sounds baby. Either you get in and play or stay home.
Well, you know, you may be right. All right, we'll continue this just fascinating conversation here on the other side of our news break and the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We also have coming up, as I mentioned, Don Mixa and Vernon Dozier to talk a little bit about this. But we thought we'd kick things off with just this preliminary discussion of these messed-up games and the messed-up rankings. And thank you very much for mentioning all this stuff, you guys. You just confused me now. I don't know what I'm talking about.
I don't think any of it makes any sense if you have a mother-father computer.
It's not the mother-father computer is what I'm trying to tell you guys. It's a computer that feeds in, what is this?
Nice little country song.
One whatever, man. So the mother father, we'll be right back, folks. World famous Phil Henry Show. The mother father computer.
Yes.